Okay, we are in the middle of Hilchos.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. We are in the middle of Hilchos Eruvin. Just a real quick throwback. I usually don't like to do this, but this is like the second time. When we spoke about burials, so we asked about, is it ever done on a second day? So people just wanted to know who it was about. So when the Rav passed away, it was Rav Simcha Zelig. He passed away as a Dayan of Brisk. He passed away late Erev Shavuos. And Rav Moshe Soloveitchik is the one who paskened that they're going to do the Kavura on the second day, because it was too late for people to show up to the Kavura, and it's mutter to do on the second day. They didn't want to push it off, and everyone walks in those days. So that's what was done. And I just wanted to point out that Rav Yonasan Sachs also told me that it was Tzvi Pesach Frank, the Rav of Yerushalayim, who paskin that the Chevra Kadisha doesn't get to go back. If they went to do the burial, they're not allowed to come back, because they're miyuchad to be the Chevra Kadisha. They're the ones who are designated for it. They know that going in, it's part of their job. And we're not worried about, they're not going to do the next burial. So that heter of, so that they don't makshil dam la'asi lavo, doesn't apply to a Chevra Kadisha. I just want to, can ask more about that later.
They still do it in Gibraltar, secondly.
In Gibraltar's? Shepson says they do it in Gibraltar, okay.
Well, in America also.
Yeah, Satmar is more known for it than Yechidim. Okay. I think we will continue. Yes. So, hey. We're on hey. Tough. Kuf Chaf Zayin Hey Tavshil Zeh She'amru. So right, we spoke about it needs to be something that's cooked, and Lechadchila something that's baked. So this Tavshil that we spoke about, so it could be, could also be, has to be anything cooked, even if it's, we're going to see, even if it was edible chai, even if it was edible. She'amru Afilu Tzali. So it could be cooked, it could be roasted or grilled. A filu shaluk, it could be very well cooked, so that it's even like melts a little bit, whatever the word is. And a filu kavush, for these purposes of Erev Tavshilin, even if it was only kavush, something that was pickled, anything that was pickled for more than 24 hours. O me'ushan, or it was smoked. All these things are fine. A filu min dagim ktanim. Even small fish, yidicha memayim chamim vadachatan hu bishulan achila arei zeh somech aleihen. Anything that's its way for cooking. Even if it's just something that's really easy to cook and all you have to do is just pour boiling hot water on it, that's fine. Comes out, if you see the Mishnah Berurah, herring. Okay, I don't know how people usually make it. If it's in a sauce or liquid, I think that's what it's usually made.
Almost all herring is made by putting the herring in an oil and then adding various sauces.
Okay.
But it's almost all.
Okay, so Rubenstein said it's always made with oil, and so therefore it's not a problem, that's good enough. The Mishnah Berurah talks about herring that's only made with dry salt, and that's not good enough. He says, Maliach, just salting is not considered cooking, but if it's in a brine or if it's in oil, then that's for sure okay. Mechain, right, as long as it's 24 hours.
Of course,
so you can make an Erev Tavshilin on herring.
So wait, that would be like jerky. So is that beef jerky, usser?
No, that's, you cook that.
No, exactly.
Beef jerky.
Beef jerky is prepared by laying it out on the board just like the fish and salting. We can move on later.
Okay, fine. It's not heated at all?
Not at all.
Okay.
Kavush means doesn't mean salt, you can't cook it while like picking it.
It has to be with a liquid salt. At least that's what the Mishnah Berurah writes. I didn't research.
Where is that Mishnah
Berurah? Yud Gimel, I think.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, good question. Maybe beef jerky counts, but okay, I don't know. V'chein somech al tapuchim mevushalim. So too, you cook apples. Even though you eat it raw, that's fine, right? Because we eat it part of the meal. People have it as kugel or apple crisp, or whatever you want to call it. V'adin shar peres mevushalim. Anything else? Maybe compote as well. V'al dagim ketanim shebishon. And even on small fish that you cook. As long as it's something that we mentioned, you eat in a meal that has bread. then it's good enough. Okay. Vav. I'm not positive about if it's miyuchad for dessert. So I'll leave that as a question. It might be pashtut to you, but okay. Vav. Somech me'erev yom tov. Afilu al adashim shebishulei kedera. All right. You can even use for food to say a bracha and set aside for your erev tavshilin, even the leftovers or the scraps of your pot, assuming it's edible, it's not burnt to a crisp. V'chein al shamunit shenidbak besakin ugrado, or even just leftover fat you take from your knife, you just slide it off with your fingers and you collect it, and that's fine. As long as it's edible, v'hu sheyehebo kazayit, as long as it adds up to a kazayit.
Most people ate fat in the old days. Okay. I know some people are like, ew, but it was a very popular.
Right, it used to be edible, and for now some it still is very edible. Yeah. So, but that's only getting, that's only a technicality, really lehalacha. Everyone agrees that's not lechatchila. You're supposed to use something that's appropriately a nice piece of meat and a proper shalem piece of water challah or whatever challah you make a motzi on. That is that's lechatchila. This seif is not lechatchila. Zayin, mitzvah al kol adam la'arev. Now it's specifically a specified mitzvah that everyone is supposed to do an erev tavshilin. Okay, there's a question if you don't plan to cook, maybe there's no chiyuv whatsoever. But certainly, if you want to cook, and perhaps even if you don't plan on cooking, there's a mitzvah for everyone to make an erev tavshilin. This way, you're safe and you can do it. And as we learned, Chazal wanted us. They invented this whole erev tavshilin because they wanted us to do the erev tavshilin. They didn't want only one person in the whole community doing it and nobody knowing about it. That's not what was intended. Right? We learned a couple of reasons. One of them is to remind us that you're not allowed to prepare on Yom Tov for during the week. That was one of the reasons why they enacted it. So they want us to be reminding ourselves by actually doing it. Otherwise, it would defeat the purpose if only one person, the Rav of the city, did it. Umitzvah, in addition to every individual, umitzvah kol gadol ha'ir la'arev al b'nei iro kedei shismach alav. It's, in addition, the Rav of the city, the Rav of the shul, should also make an eruv for everybody so that other people can rely on it in case some people, we'll see. For who? Kedei shismach alav misha shachach, the people who innocently forget. That's a question. Some say if you were just lazy and forgot, that's not acceptable. But it's intended for people who forget, or ne'enas, they weren't able to make it, or included in this is people who believe that only the Rav does it. Some people actually believe it's not for the individual to do, it's just for the Rav, and they're so mechanel mechatchila. So that's wrong, but some call that negligence isn't good enough, but many say that's okay. O shehiniach eruv ve'avad. Or, let's say you made an erev like you were supposed to, and it disappeared. You ate it by mistake. Someone and the kids ate it by mistake, and it's gone. V'hu'adin am'arch enu del arev. Or an am'arch, it doesn't know how to do an erev. So for these cases, that's why you have the Rav Ha'ir to do it. Avamish efshar la'arev v'lo erev. But if a person who's able to, and he's knowledgeable, and he doesn't, ela sherotz lismoch al eruvo shel gadol la'ir, but he just wants to rely on somebody, Nikra Pasheya ve'ena yotzebo. So based on a story in the Gemara, he's called a Pasheya and he cannot rely on it. So there's a story in the Gemara in Beitza. It's I believe it's Tetzayin Amud Beis. So there is a blind person, happened to be blind, and he was upset. So the Rav asked him, "Why are you upset?" He says, "Because I forgot to make an erev." He says, "Don't worry, you can rely on me." And then the next holiday came and he saw him upset again. And he said, "Why are you upset?" "Because I forgot to make the erev." So the Rav says, "Oh, you can't prepare for Shabbos this year. Because I don't have a mind to take care of those who are Pasheya. Only those who are by mistake." So it's a Machloket Rishonim, if that's the real halacha, or just that Rav was being strict with his member. So it's a Machloket Rishonim. Here the Shulchan Aruch is Machmer. The Mishnah Berurah points out that there's somewhere a Mekel, and, I think he writes, he says, "Bidi Eved, the Mishnah Berurah against the Shulchan Aruch. He says you can be somech b'di'eved, and you can rely on the Rav even if you forgot a couple times in a row. Okay, obviously he says lechatchila you should follow the Shulchan Aruch, but if you forgot and there's no way out, you're allowed to. Okay, let's see. Now, what happens if you plan to eat out? You don't plan to cook at all. So you say, what do I need an Erev for? Erev Tashlim for? I'm not cooking, I'm not baking, I'm not doing anything. So perhaps you should for a candle, and we'll talk about that, but some say for a candle there's no chiyuv. So if you're doing it only for a candle, I would say do it without a bracha. That's what I've seen in Chazon Ovadia and others. But, anyways, what if you are planning to eat out, and then you realize, oh, I can't eat out. They uninvited you, or somebody was sick, a snowstorm, and you're not going. And now it's already Friday afternoon or Friday morning, and you don't have food. So that's called an onus. So Shlomo Zalman or Karl Aretz, and I think common sense will tell you that that's called an onus, because you had full intentions not to need it, and now you need it. So that's exactly what an onus is. Okay. Chet. Right, and if you will also, the Mishnah Berurah others say, if you appoint someone to make the Erev Tashilin for you and that person slips up, so that's also you're called an ones, and you can rely on the Rav. Chet. Keshem ha'arev al acherim, eino tzarech lefaret, ela maniach michlal al kol b'nei ha'ir. Now, if you're going to make the Erev for somebody else, like the Rav, or you can just make it for other people, so then you just have a mind, you say it's for everyone else, or all these other people. You don't have to start specifying names. And if you say it's for the whole Bnei Ha'ir, then obviously everybody within the Tchum is included. The Haggad. So this Ramah, the Beis Yosef agrees. It's not always easy to know if he agrees or disagrees, but here he agrees. Haggad. Aval mi shehu chutz latchum, eino yotze bo, afilo yiniach erev tchumin v'yachol lavo lechan. Now, if a person generally just makes an Erev for the city, and he says, I'm having a mind everyone within the Tchum, or he just says, I'm having everybody a mind in the city, and he doesn't specify, anyone who's outside the Tchum is not included. Even if that person made an Erev, let's say he's 1,000 Amos outside the city, and he made himself an Erev Tchumin that he's able to come inside the city, that Erev doesn't work on him. Because that person knew about his Erev Tchumin, but the Rav Ha'ir didn't know about his Erev Tchumin. And so the assumption is the Rav only has in mind for whoever is within the Tchum. Elim kein hitna alav ha'miniach behedya. Unless the Rav Ha'ir specifies, oh, I'm also going to include that person or anybody, or he says, I'm going to include anybody who's within 2,000 Amos who made an Erev type of thing.
What about in New York or Los Angeles, the Chavon, you have danced together. That work?
No, because he can't use it. It's not shaykh. You have to have shaykhs to the food. As far as I understand, you have to have shaykhs to the food. Okay. Tet. Okay. Tet. Dad meniach meinan sheyachavin lahotzi la'acher. So the one who makes the Erev Tafshilin, like the Rav Ha'ir, or a nice neighbor, has to have in mind who he's making the Erev for. And we're going to see, you have to also make him an owner. So obviously you have to have him in mind. This is the main point. Everybody else in the city doesn't have to know that the Rav made it for him. Everyone in their own city might make their own, they're supposed to make their own Erev Tavshilin. But the Rav Ha'ir, when he does it, even if no one knows about the Rav Ha'ir, it still works. Even though no one had him in mind. Let's say you made yours and then it disappeared. So you didn't even plan on using the Rav's. It still works. Rak, on the condition, shiodiyu b'yom tov kodem shiatchil avashu l'tzorach Shabbos. But obviously, the guy has to know about it on Erev Shabbos, because otherwise he won't be able to cook. So if he realizes he doesn't have his own Erev, he can't cook unless someone tells him, oh, by the way, you should just know the Rav made it for you yesterday. So then that's fine. So in other words, everyone's covered, even if you don't know about it before Friday. But on Friday, to cook, you have to know about it. Otherwise, there's no way for you to think that you're allowed to cook. Haggad. Vim derech agadol aniach aleim, somchin alav mistama. Right, and if you know that it's normally for the Rav, the ear, someone does it for everybody else, then you're allowed to be somech on him, bedieved, not lechatchila. That's again, that was a tzaron machlokas, but that's the halacha that lechatchila you can't rely on the Rav. Yod, hamarev laacherim, tzarech lezakot lahem aydei acher. Now, if you are going to make an eruv for somebody else, you have to make them a part owner of the food, because they have to have a shaychas to the food. V'kol mi shemezakin al yado be'eruvei Shabbos, whoever, basically the same rules who applies to eruvei Shabbos, like eruvei tchumin, mezakin al yado be'eruvei tavshilin, those are the same rules of having someone else being mezaka for you. V'kol mi she'ein mezakin al yado be'oto eruv, whoever is not allowed to be mezaka to receive the food and pick it up and say, it's now I'm being mezaka not only for me, but for everybody else, or just for everybody else. So then, whoever lifts it up, whoever is allowed, whoever cannot lift it up, by eruvei tchumin, ein mezaken al yado, also cannot for this purposes. So basically, a short summary would be that ketanim and avadim cannot be the recipient, but it could be any gadol. And then if it's someone that is somech on your table, who lives in your house and is eating your food, if they're bar mitzvah, so lechatchila we don't use them. Lechatchila don't use your wife. Lechatchila don't use your big children, older children who are bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah. But you're allowed to be when it's necessary or bedyavid. So that's how it is by Eretz Chulamin. Same thing here. So okay, Yud Aleph. Tzarich hazoche lagbia eruv min hakarka. Or I'll add from the table, you're supposed to, or the guy's hand, you have to lift it up, tefach. Whoever's being mezaka, you have to lift it up, one, tefach, and then, right, everyone has in mind what you're doing, and then it belongs to everybody, and now the eruv tafshilin can work for everybody. You bet. Chozer v'notel, miyad azoche. So when you do this, and you give it to somebody else, so then, alright, whoever doing this, it's usually the rab of a shul or city, so he gives it to the person who's taking it, who's a mezaka for the whole tzibur. He, the one who's taking it, picks it up, and now the rav takes it back. Mevarech al mitzvat eruv, and then when you pick it up, when the rav picks it up again, he says the bracha Baruch Ata Hashem Asher Kedeshanu al v'tzivanu al mitzvat eruv, and that's the bracha. The omer, and then right away he says the following nusach, and we'll see it's a very important. To say this nesach, we'll see what happens if you forget later on. The Omer, b'din yehe sharei lan afuye ulavashule ulatmune ulad luki shraga. Right, and with this, which is referring to the erev tashilin, now we're going to be permitted to bake, to cook, to do hatmana, to light candles. Ula me'abad, the nesach continues. Ula me'abad kol tzarchana miyom tov l'shabbos. And I can make whatever, now I can prepare whatever I need from Yom Tov to Shabbos. Lana, this is for me or us, my family. V'lifloni or floni, and for my neighbor, this person or that person. O l'chol b'nei ha'ir hazo, so for the entire city. So you just, whatever it applies to, right? Whatever, whoever you're using, you're saying it for, you say it for everyone. Nahaga, umi she'ena yodea bilshon hakodesh. Well, that's actually Aramaic, that's but Aramaic. if you don't understand what you're saying, Yuchal Omer b'lashon la'az shemevin. So the Mishnah Berurah corrects Yuchal to tzarich, and you must say it in a language that you understand, whether it's Yiddish, Aramaic, English, whatever it might be. Okay. Okay. And with this, you're allowed to do other stuff as well, because you already included everything. Shechita, whatever you need to do. Yud Gimel.
Kol b'nei ha'ir hazos is the lashon of the Rav. Yeah. What do we do?
Kol b'nei mishpach koli, or kol b'nei mishpach, I don't know, whatever's in the Sidurim, but it would be...
In the Sidurim, it says that language in small writing. So the question is, do we need to say that?
You need to say whatever it's for. To say li uvelana. You can say us. You can say kol mishpachti.
In case the rav.
Yeah,
but then you got to be machna to the whole city. Right. You have to share your piece of meat with everyone. I'm going to come over.
Yes.
Wow, then I'm coming over every Friday night.
For the last God knows how long. So you know.
Okay, Yud Gimel.
Can't go wrong.
Alfa pi shehiniach eruv ena yachol avashal mi yom tov rishon l'shabbos. So, even though you made an eruv, this is talking about a two-day yom tov. So it's in chutz la'aretz.
You can't grow your
Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
On Thursday.
You can't grow your steaks on day
Thursday
one for day two.
For Shabbos.
Or for day two.
Or for day two. Correct. Either way.
Either way.
You can't cook on Thursday for Friday or Shabbos. Yeah, if the whole the whole concept of Erev Tavshilin is only to cook on Erev Shabbos for Shabbos. Which means Friday. Oh, it has to always be Friday for Shabbos. Right. It can never be Thursday.
You could not do it the day prior for Shabbos. And
it could even be an Isser de Araisa to cook on Thursday. Because it could be that Thursday is, however it works out, because if sake of the Yoma, whatever.
Okay.
Fine. Now, if a person did do it on Thursday, Mishnah Berurah says you're allowed to eat it. But don't. But you're allowed to eat it.
Huge
machlokes,
by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Yodalad. Lismoch alav kol zman kayam afilu yom tov acher.
If the person had das and he knew that he's not allowed to do it, then we usually fasten that it's aser. If it's someone who did it and didn't realize the halacha and was a little bit of an ignoramus, so then usually the rabbanim allowed for the eating of the food. That's sorry.
Okay, I don't know. I think the Mishnah Berurah is make even the amazing, but
we'll Rabbi
Sauer. Okay, so that's Rabbi Sauer.
Heavyweight champion.
Tough. Okay, so now this case in your Dalet was. You make an Eruv today for, let's say it's Eruv Pesach, and you want to use this Eruv on Sukkos, something that lasts, or you can freeze it. Nowadays you have a freezer. So you want to do it, you want to do an Eruv Tashilin once for two holidays, 2 years, many years, whatever. So lechatchila lo yismoch alav yom tov acher. Lechatchila, you're not allowed to. You have every yom tov, you have to do a new one. I mean, that's takanas chazal. They want us. It's a mitzvah, and they want us to be doing it often to remind us every holiday. So lechatchila, you're not allowed to. Aval b'diavad lechol lismoch alav. But you are allowed to rely on it b'diavad because you did it, and it's still edible. It's still a kazayis, and you're allowed to. And we see this sort of. Just this concept, anytime it's a Yom Tov Sheni, that you're allowed to do it. Technically, the Erev that you're making is supposed to be done right before the day. So, if really only technically, you should if it's a 2 day Yom Tov, and we're saying let's say Friday is the real Yom Tov, which why you're doing Erev Tashilin for it, you should really be doing it on Thursday, the day before. Just comes out, we're always doing it 2 days before. We never do an, you're not allowed to, we never do an Erev Tashilin on a 2 day Yom Tov while it's Yom Tov on the Thursday. You always have to do it on the Wednesday. You always have to do it before Yom Tov starts. So you see, this is the one time where it's done Lechatchila and Chutz Aretz, where it's done in advance. Or Rosh Hashanah and Eretz Yisrael. But you see the concept that it could be done, it's supposed to be done right before Yom Tov, that day, but Lamaisa, you're allowed to do, we do it lechatchila 2 days
that
before.
Sunday also, yeah, right.
Okay. But anyways, at least it's done for every new holiday, which is really the idea. Tet Vav.
Even first day Pesach, the last day, it can fall out like that.
So lechatchila, you do a new one each time. Tet Vav, right. From even 7 days apart, lechatchila, you make a new one. Tet Vav. Ne'echal ha'eruv o she'avad kodem shebisha l'shabbos. Now what happens if the eruv disappears? You eat it. Before you cook for Shabbos. Ene yachol levashal ele'imke nishtayram yimenu kazayas. So we basically had this halacha again before. That once it gets eaten or disappears and you don't have a kazayit left, then you're stuck. It's you no longer, even though you made an Erev Tavshilin, you no longer have an Erev Tavshilin, and you can no longer cook on Friday for the next day. Again, there is you can still be somech on the Rav if he made one. And there's another way out. Right, so that's what we learned already. So that's exactly the case of Onis. And I think we're going to learn there's another way out. Okay, we'll stop here and we'll say that other way out when we get move on.